Sports Media Group Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Buccaneers have decided who their quarterback is for Sunday's game against the Bears, but Coach Dirk Cutter not ready to say whether it'll be Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Cutter said he met with both, informing them of his decision, and both are on board. Not announcing the starter yet is the right move by Cutter, according to ESPN's John Fox.
They're two different players, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, with two different skill sets. So he's not going to let the opponent know who that's going to be. They'll have different styles. Exactly what they do, time will tell. And like we reported is, they're not going to let them know really until probably they get to Chicago. And I think that's smart on Dirk Cutter's part.
Patrick's thrown for at least 400 yards in three straight games, filling in for Winston. Today marked Winston's return from his three-game suspension for violating the personal conduct policy. Rams cornerback Aqib Talib is scheduled to undergo surgery after suffering a high ankle sprain on Sunday. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter yesterday that Talib would be out at least 1 month. Baseball, an MRI on Yankees center fielder Aaron Hicks' hamstring came back negative. Manager Aaron Boone says Hicks should return to the lineup this week. First pitch for the Yankees and Rays is coming up on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. Yankees are a game and a half up on the A's for the top AL wildcard spot. Pivotal series continues for the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. Coverage in 30 minutes on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Milwaukee's a game and a half back of the Cubs in the National League Central, and St. Louis leads Colorado by a half game for the second NL wildcard spot.
Coming up Wednesday, your next shot to join the tailgate with the Golics at Notre Dame. And Penn State head coach James Franklin joins us ahead of their top 10 matchup against Ohio State this weekend. Plus, Kevin Hart. It's Kevin Hart. Wednesday on Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard, presented by CareSpot Urgent Care. Now here's Nick Renowitz, Heath Ziegler, and Kyle Israel.
We're ready to go. A special edition of the show here on a Tuesday, normally from 8 to 9, but we got Tuesday night baseball coming up, so we're going to get you a half-hour high school football update from what went on under the Friday night lights this past weekend. Nicky Football here. Heath Ziegler is with me. And Jerry Daniels decided to stick around, too.
Oh, I thought it was Kyle now.
No.
You want me to do my best Kyle voice?
Kyle Israel is...
Hi, this is Kyle.
Kyle Israel is out today. Let's jump into a quick recap. We have the Seminole High School head coach, Don Stark. He's going to join us coming up in the next segment to talk about that great historic program here in Central Florida, coming off a pair.
Man, one of the most historic.
Yes, coming off a pair of wins. So what do you say we jump into the two games that we want to make sure we recap before heading into the point system that was released today? And the first one, a big one close to the heart of Heath Ziegler, Hagerty at Westport. And look at this. Hagerty comes out with a 52-48 win. Heath, this thing was a shootout, man, on the road for Hagerty, but they come away with the victory.
Yeah, it was. This was the game where there was more points scored in this game than any other game in Central Florida. Normally, you know, when we do the show, we break down five games, that we recap five games. Tonight, we're just going to do two on the special edition. But you're right. The first one we're going to look at is Hagerty versus Westport. And Hagerty had to go on the road up to Ocala, and that's kind of unusual to have a district game for Orlando, which we have plenty of schools right here in Orlando, and I know it drives my dad and other coaches crazy that they have to, you know, leave all the way and go up and play in Ocala. But they went up there, and they end up rattling off three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to get a W, and that's just amazing if you think about how little Hagerty's offense has been productive this year. For them to score 52 and three of those touchdowns to be in the fourth quarter was phenomenal. A couple key things from that game. Jordan Gilbert, who is kind of the stud running back for my father at Hagerty, he's officially back. He was the one that scored the game-winning touchdown with 1 minute left. And you can totally see what Hagerty looks like when they have the star running back, because they're primarily a running team. They throw the ball very little. So when you have that key running back in the picture, you're starting to see Hagerty starting to get some momentum and rolling, and that's why they're actually now getting votes in the top, the Sentinel Super 16 at number 16.
They just squeezed in there. Did you use stud as a reference because they were in Ocala?
Yes.
In the middle of horse country?
Horse country. That was a little Jerryism.
Yeah, wow. Look at him. He's learning from me.
I totally missed that. So Hagerty gets a big win at Westport, 52-48.
What a bunch of stallions they are.
What about those Blue Darters? Hoka, hey, Apopka comes away with a 49-13 win at Boone. The Blue Darters just keep rolling in a rivalry matchup that is always intriguing to watch, Heath, but this one one-sided.
Yeah, and this was the one that we really wanted to pay special attention to because we kind of wanted to see how good is Boone. And this was the game that I chose to be on the sidelines at. And I know I called into the show a couple times and gave some updates. But
I remember.
So there's some good things going on right now at Apopka. And one of them is Coach Darlington's son. He's the quarterback there. And Jackson Darlington
can play a little.
And you know what? We're just now starting to see it in the past couple weeks. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen Apopka football, but it's a very run heavy offense. Okay, they run a special formation called the single wing. It's very dominant. Teams don't know how to defend it. Now you're starting to see Jackson Darlington stretch the field vertically with the passing game. And we've got a two-headed monster here in Apopka that I told Jerry, hey, look out, Oviedo. Excuse me, look out, Wekiva. Apopka might be my new favorite team at the top in Central Florida.
So the Blue Darters moving up that list of Heath Ziegler's favorite teams here in Central Florida. Also up in the win total, they get a win at Boone.
And yeah, I just want to also add, too, they suffered that injury earlier that we talked about with Ja'Corian Davis-Hamilton. And Apopka, now Akeem Brown, has kind of stepped in and filled the shoes. He had 5 touchdowns against Boone, over 200 yards rushing. And you're starting to see Apopka just really clicking. And this is early in the season to see them rolling like this. I do not want to face them in week 9, 10, 11, or 12.
Yeah, and I actually got a chance to catch up with the Blue Darters coaching staff following that game against Boone, and they were over there at eating some custard, we'll call it, down there on South Orange Avenue.
Okay.
And they were really upbeat on the season, and they kind of liked the fact that they came into this season kind of under the radar as opposed to most previous years. And the athletic director was telling me, right now, all we care about is the next game, and I kind of believed him. It didn't sound like he was trying to give me the line that they've just been able this season for the first time in a while to put their nose down and focus only on what they're doing, because Wekiva has been able to pull all that attention away from them.
Yeah, and I think that might be a kind of a diamond in the rough, like a little hidden treasure for them.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with
you 100%. They've had a lot of, I guess, the media or a lot of the press off their back. And I was actually one of the ones that was kind of thinking Apopka would be down a little bit this year. However, Rick Darlington doing it again out there in Apopka in Hokahe territory.
That's all they do, the Alabama of Central Florida. They just continue to reload up there.
Their coach talks more, though.
A true juggernaut.
Even with that shiny head he's got.
He absolutely does. So those the two games that we want to recap after the past week of high school football. But a big announcement today. So the new point system, which has been in effect the last 2 seasons now. This is the second season, right, Heath?
Yes, that's
that they're doing this. It was released today.
That's correct. So last year, when these numbers came out, everyone freaked out because they hadn't seen this before. They said, wait a second. You mean we're ranked 12th or we're ranked first? Like, it threw everyone for a loop because you really started to understand, wow, strength of schedule really,
something now.
Really, really matters.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see, I guess, today when the numbers came out, you're starting to see a little bit, people are starting to be used to this and they're not freaking out as much. But when you look at it right now, Seminole and West Orange, I talked to J.C. Carnahan earlier from the Orlando Sentinel. He pointed out a good thing to me. They wouldn't even be in the playoffs right now if the season were to end today under the current point system. Yeah. So it's an alarming kind of thing that, you know, don't get too caught up in it because it's still early. And I just think this point system is worth discussing.
Now, for people that don't understand what this system is, Heath, because even someone like me, I have a limited understanding of it. Give me a quick rundown here for people that are not as familiar with the way that this works, because it is something that's new, that's changed only in the last 2 years.
So every team is categorized into 1, 2, 3, or 4. So you're either a tier 1 or tier 4, or tier 3, to tier 2, so forth. So if you win 80% of your games, you're tier 1, 60% you're tier 2, 40% you're tier 3, and under that, you're tier 4. So the crazy thing is right now, Dr. Phillips, defending state champs, are sitting 1-4. They're a tier 4 team right now. So you pick up a big win against them, you think you're going to get a lot of points for it. Well, that game when you beat them might have been worth something, but as they keep losing, you're not playing them, that game is getting less and less valuable every week. So I'll give you a good kind of scenario. So let's say a team has a bye week this week, and let's say they're sitting 3-2. They're looking at the teams that they've beat, the three teams they've beaten, the two that they've lost, and without even playing a game, just sitting at home, they're going to gain points and lose points based on wins and losses of those teams.
If those teams all win, they gain points.
Yes.
If let's say that all of them lose, they lose points just because of that strength of schedule side of it.
Exactly. And see, and these, so these
you really don't control your own destiny quite as much except for winning your district.
Yes, right. So the only way that you can get in, which there's an automatic state berth, an automatic bid, just like there is in NCAA basketball, you get an automatic bid. If you win your district, you automatically get in. But no longer do the wild or the runner-ups get in. Now it's a wild card system, and we have a district that's right here in Orlando that is the most unbelievable district in terms of strength. And you have Apopka, Wakaiva, and West Orange all in the same district in a four-team district. I'm sorry, guys, there's not room for three of you to get out. So it's going to be who are the two teams? Can they both get wild card spots? Is going to be the question. And I would hate to see Wakaiva or Apopka or West Orange left out, but it's a very true possibility.
Listen, I think that this is an interesting system. I know that it does hurt some of the smaller schools, and it adds a lot of travel for those schools, but it adds some intrigue and it adds some drama to your season because now these schools know that they need to go play other big-time schools. You can't just hide in a district of three schools and make the playoffs every year finishing first or second. So I think this is a good addition. There needs to be some tweaks. You definitely need to tweak this to try to make the system a little bit more equal because if you are in some of these districts with some schools that necessarily don't invest in football as much, it's tough for you to accrue as many points just because those schools aren't winning.
I think you're going to see some tweaks in the future because check this out. Some districts will have 7 or 8 teams. Some will have 3 or 4 teams. And that gives the teams with like the 4-team district that Apopka's in, they get to pick 6 games non-conference, so they get to have a little bit more say in who they play. The district games, you have to play those. So if you're in a 7-team district, sorry, those 6 games, you have to play, the state says so. So you only have 4 non-conference games that you can go out and find and play. Well, when you're being told who to play, you only can be as good as your district allows you to be, and that's a problem.
It is. It definitely is. So we'll keep an eye on those.
I like it. Do you guys like it or no?
I like the idea of it.
Yes.
I think that there are some tweaks that need to happen in order to kind of.
Is it better than before?
Yes, because you had a lot of weak schools making it as runner-ups in districts. I like the fact that if you win your district, you're in. And after that, hey, listen, go play some tough schools and win some games and don't necessarily just kind of coast to a playoff berth. I think what they're doing here in the state of Florida is you're getting, and especially in the state of Florida, you're getting the cream of the crop schools into the playoffs to make for a better playoff product.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, the best tweak you can do is make the districts all within one team. So make the districts either, all of them need to be 5 and 6 teams across the board. So that way every team has within one game the same number of non-conference games. Don't let there be 4 teams with 4 and teams with 7. That's 2 extra games that they get to pick for non-conference games. And those non-conference games, we are starting to see athletic directors and head coaches go out and find whoever they can to find a tier 1 or tier 2 team. And then we have bonus points. We haven't even talked about that. If you play a team that went to the playoffs in the past 2 seasons, you get 3 extra bonus points for just playing them. So if you haven't made the playoffs in a couple years, it's going to get hard to get games because those 3 bonus points really, really matter at the end of the year when they add them up.
And those other teams, they don't want to play you if you're not making the playoffs because they don't get those bonus points.
That's
right. Special edition of ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard here on ESPN 580. He's Heath Ziegler. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunewald's Nicky Football. It's brought to you by CareSpot Urgent Care, your one-stop solution for your healthcare needs, now with 10 locations all over Central Florida and providing you with same-day treatment, including weekends, evenings, and holidays. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Don Stark. He's the head coach over at Seminole High School. They're coming off 2 straight wins. This is one of the most consistent programs in Central Florida there at Seminole, a historic program. We're going to talk to Don Stark about his program. Coming up next, for Heath and Jerry, I'm Nick. We'll be back with Coach Don Stark next here on ESPN 580 Orlando.
Now back to ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard, presented by CareSpot Urgent Care, your one-stop solution of your healthcare needs, right here on ESPN 580 Orlando.
Special edition of the show here tonight with Tuesday Night Baseball coming up in about 13 minutes. Nick here, Jerry's with me, Heat Ziegler on the show. Kyle Israel is out. We got a great guest coming up here in just a minute. You want to get in touch, you can, 844-225-5580. Also on Twitter at ESPN580 Nick and at TheJerryDaniels.
Yeah, we have a special guest, like you said. I've watched this coach a long time. He's battled my dad, Phil Ziegler, for a number of years in the area, and he's had some great teams at university that I remember watching quite well. But he's now at the program that really has defined Seminole County for the past couple decades at Sanford Seminole. And we have Coach Don Stark with us right now. Coach, welcome to the show, and thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. How much do I owe you for that introduction?
Well, I just want to know real quick before we even get to the real talk. This is Jerry Daniels. What is it like being the most beloved head coach for the Seminoles in the state of Florida?
It's pretty good. Yeah. We've got to keep our record up. I don't know.
Yeah,
they pay that other guy a little bit more than they pay me, so I don't know how beloved I am.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, Coach, you're winning more games than they are, and let's talk about Sanford Seminole here. So you're coming off two wins in a row. We did follow that game with the land closely, and I don't want to stay on that too long. That was a tough one for you. Mm-hmm. But you're coming off two wins, Coach, and your team's starting to click. You're kind of running over teams here these last couple weeks. What's changed?
Well, you know, we're not turning the ball over on offense. That's a big thing, and obviously you give credit to DeLand. They got a really good football team. They got a couple players over there that are, you know, as good as anybody in the area. And they created some problems for us. And, you know, we still had a chance to win it there at the end. And we just, you know, gave up a couple big plays in the passing game, which we really hadn't done, you know, all game or all year. And, you know, they made a couple more plays than us. So hopefully we learned from that. And, we didn't allow that to happen against Flagler, who's probably the most overall talented team we've played. We did really well against them. And then, University, you know, they'll get it going here soon. They've got a young ball club. And same thing this week. You know, we're playing another Lake Brantley team that's pretty young. And so hopefully we can stop their young guys.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the Flagler-Palm Coast game because I expected that to be a lot closer. And you guys seem to handle them pretty well. So my hat's off to you for that win. I want to talk a little bit, Coach, with you about district play. And we're getting right into the middle of it here, and you have kind of a unique district because you have seven teams in your district. Is that correct?
It is. You know, we were. As a matter of fact, I know the point totals came out today, and we were kind of talking about that. And in terms of scheduling, it's a great. You know, it's nice because you don't have to try and schedule a bunch of games. But in terms of points and scheduling quality opponents, it kind of hurts us. So yeah. We tried to do a better job with our non-district games and scheduling good football teams. You know, we've got Bishop Moore, we've got DeLand, and we got Flagler Palm Coast. And so, you know, hopefully that will help us in the long run.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that just before the segment you came on, where there's some teams in our local area with four teams that are 8A. In their district, and some like you have seven, and it really kind of limits what you and your AD can do and how creative you can get with your non-conference scheduling. I'd like to see the state mandate where districts have to be within like the 5-6 range, but we know how it is with different classifications all on top of one another. It can be hard to do, but I think that you're the front runner in your district, but there's some good teams, and one of them you're going to be playing this week, and that's Lake Brantley. And tell me a little bit about that game, Coach. And I know the quarterback there, Demarius Good, is someone that we talk about quite a bit on the show. How are you prepping for Lake Brantley?
Well, you know, they run a unique offense and a triple option.
That's right.
And so we're just trying to preach to our kids about, you know, being disciplined. And, this is a game that they're going to test your toughness as well. In terms of, you know, they're going to come off the ball and they're going to knock you back. We consider a pitch when they pitch it a pass, so they're not going to do too many passes this game. So we're just trying to play assignment football and be aggressive and make sure we don't make any mistakes and give up big plays.
Sure. Well, if you look forward at your schedule, Coach, and I appreciate you sharing that with me about your game this week. That's at Lake Brantley?
No, it's at our place. It's actually homecoming, so hopefully our kids are focused.
Well, Coach, it seems like you play. It seems like you play at home every week.
You know, yeah, we did. We got lucky this year. You know, we were originally going to have, this was the year we were going to have six home games. But then when we were able to pick up Flagler Palm Coast, that was a home game. And technically, University was, we were the away team. But since they don't have a field, we got to host them. So no place like home.
Yeah. Okay. So four of your last five games are all Tier 1 and Tier 2 teams. So I know that there's a lot of strength in your schedule. And that's also where kind of all your road games lie. I think you have three of your last five are on the road. That's going to be quite the test there near the end, but you also have the chance to pick up a lot of those points that we were talking about. Coach, talk to me a little bit about when you go into, you know, the end of your season, that last part of your season, it's going to be heavy district play, and you're looking at your schedule, and you're starting to see Tier 1 and Tier 2 every single week. How do you get your guys prepared for that?
Well, you know, we really don't change much in terms of how we prepare for the opponent. You know, we consider everybody a quality opponent in terms of how we prepare and how we play. And if we just, you know, we believe if we just keep getting better every day, then, you know, it really doesn't matter what the other team does. You know, we're at Seminole, we're going to have as good of athletes as anyone around. And so as long as we take care of what we need to do, then, you know, we feel it really doesn't matter what the other team does.
I got you, Coach. I thank you for your time. I got one more thing I want to throw in there. There's a couple players that we talk about on the show here quite a bit, and that's Timmy McClain and Jordan Kroll. Could you just, you know, help us out, help us understand, what are those young men like to coach?
Yeah, well, they make me better coach, I can promise you that. You know, they, you know, we're very fortunate to have, you know, quality young men in our program, and Timmy and Graydon are, you know, are two of those guys. You know, Timmy's really picked up the offense this year. We're able to do a little bit more with him, and he's just been phenomenal. And Graydon's really come along. I mean, I don't know if I know what I'm doing anymore, but I think he's one of the best receivers in the area. And, you know, college guys aren't jumping on him. And I think if they take a look at his film, you know, he's a pretty special talent.
All right, Coach, I want to thank you again for having us on. That was Don Stark from Seminole High School. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, man. Have a good night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Great to catch up with Don
Stark.
Class
act, always.
Yes, absolutely. And that program, year after year, is right there in contention there in Seminole County. Good to catch up with head coach Don Stark. That's going to do it for us here on the show. Now, here's what you need to do, okay? Because the show every single week is podcasted. All you need to do is go on to where you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google
iTunes,
Play, iTunes, and type in Live Local and Loud. It's in the Live Local and Loud feed.
Or even at ESPN Orlando.
And at ESPNOrlando.com. And you will find this show and the Live Local and Loud show posted on there. So what we're going to do is actually you're going to get some bonus content because we have Tuesday night baseball, coming up here. You're going to get a preview for this week. Heath will give you his picks and his insight into those games. So tonight, make sure you go find that. Look for Live Local and Loud, and you will find the show. But that's going to do it for us tonight here on ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard. It's brought to you by our friends at CareSpot Urgent Care. For Heath Ziegler, for Jerry Daniels, Kyle Israel was out. I'm Nick Grunowitz, Nicky Football. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back next Tuesday at our normal time to recap the high school football action. And, of course, enjoy Tuesday night baseball.
Now back to ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard. Presented by CareSpot Urgent Care. Your one-stop solution of your health care needs. Right here on ESPN 580 Orlando.
He gets some bonus coverage here on the podcast. Nicky Football here. Jerry Daniels is with me. It's ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard. It is presented by CareSpot Urgent Care. If you listen to the show, you know what we're doing here. If you didn't, well, surprise. We've got some bonus coverage for you here. We're going to go through the games that are going to happen this week after we got cut a little short due to Tuesday night baseball. So Heath is here. Jerry Daniels stuck around for this. Kyle Israel is out.
Sorry.
And we're going to go through the games that are going to happen this Friday so you know what to expect this upcoming weekend. So what do you say we get started, guys? And the first game we want to get into, Jones is playing at Bishop Moore. This should be a good one, Heath. What do you have keyed up for this game?
Oh, Nicky, this is a good one, and I'll tell you why. Because we get a little early playoff action right here because the winner of this game is pretty much punching their ticket to the state playoffs, and we're only in week six. So it's kind of an early little playoff preview game here. Whoever wins this game, they're going to the state playoffs. So I think that's one reason why this is going to be one of the games you have to go out and find. You have to go out and watch this week. That game's going to be at Bishop Moore. They're a 7:30 kickoff because private schools have to do things differently. Every other school's at 7, but Bishop Moore likes to do theirs at 7:30.
It allows the media to get there, Heath. That's why. The media can get there.
I can understand that. But Jones is a team, you know, they have eight Division I players on the field. Bishop Moore, you always look at Bishop Moore. They might have four Division I guys, but they're always coached so well that they find ways to win. If I had to pick one right now, which I always do, I'm going to go with Jones to upset Bishop Moore on the road.
Now, Bishop Moore dropped that game to Edgewater at the start of the season. Now, Edgewater has looked very good this year. Some people were questioning whether or not Bishop Moore was going to have one of those transition seasons.
That's right.
This should be a good one, Jones at Bishop Moore. The next one, Hagerty hosting Ocoee. That game at Hagerty. Heath, of course, these are always two teams when they run into each other. They're usually pretty close games.
You're going to see a common theme with my games of the week. And this is another preview game of whoever wins this game will likely play Edgewater for the district championship. The way things have kind of already settled down in that district, I'm looking at Ocoee or Hagerty to be the team that plays Edgewater. And now that Jordan Gilbert is back for the Hagerty Huskies, which we talked about on the live show.
Yes.
Haggerty's a completely, completely different animal. And I'm looking at Hagerty to win this game. And even though Ocoee probably has more talent on paper, and when you look at them, they definitely pass the eye test, I'm still going to take the Hagerty Huskies and my dad, Coach Phil Ziegler, to beat Ocoee. And that is at Hagerty. That's a 7 o'clock start. If you're on the east side of town, that's one you should go see.
Well, beware of that Ocoee run game. Ocoee runs the ball very well. They have all season long. But Hagerty, usually, Heath, you know this, good at home, too. Let's move to our third game here. We're previewing a game that, of course, is close to Kyle Israel's heart. Oviedo playing at Lake Mary. Where are you at here on the Rams, Heath? Are they going to be able to get a win at home?
Well, I'll tell you, it sticks with this theme that I'm going with tonight, and that's going to be, this is another look-ahead game. The winner of Oviedo and Lake Mary will likely end up playing Seminole for the district championship. If you listen to the live broadcast, we just talked to Coach Don Stark from Seminole, and we talked a little bit about his upcoming schedule, and he's going to have to play both of these teams. But the winner of this game will largely decide who will face him in the district championship. Now let's look at the matchup. Morgan Mitchell and Keontae Coffey for Oviedo High School have been one of my favorite 1-2 combinations between quarterback and running back. Morgan Mitchell's the 6'6 quarterback that's headed to Buffalo. Keontae Coffey has probably the best explosive speed out of the pocket that I know of in Central Florida. He's going to go up against Gunnar Smith,
Great football name.
Is that the best football name?
It's a good football name. Gunnar Smith.
Gunnar Smith, and he's our quarterback. And then they have Mike Cardino.
Oh, and he's a quarterback, too.
Yeah, he's a quarterback named Gunnar, and he's paired up with Mike Cardino, who has, I think, just as many touchdowns as anybody in Seminole County. So this is a battle of the duos. You got Mike Cardino, Gunnar Smith for Lake Mary, Morgan Mitchell and Keontae Coffey for Oviedo. This is a 7 o'clock start at Lake Mary. If you've ever been to Lake Mary, that is a great place to watch a game.
Oh, it is.
They got the turf field, the big stadium.
It's great.
And the students come out for that one. I mean, expect at least 3,000 to 4,000 people there before kickoff.
Yeah, that's a fun environment they have there. We did one of those for an ESPN 580 game, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, and the Rams do it right there.
They sure do.
At home. Let's get out to West Orange, where the Warriors are hosting the Wekiva Mustangs. This is a 7 p.m. start on Friday, too, Heath. And Wekiva is kind of the team of the year. We've talked a lot about them. They have played well. Yep. West Orange has had some surprising finishes.
Yeah, we've had Coach Bob Head on from West Orange. We've had Coach Rich Bettison on from Wekiva. We know these teams pretty well. So we've talked to both of their coaches, and we have an understanding of where their program is headed. West Orange is one of the schools that really benefited from the open enrollment. You saw that this year when out of the 24 possible students that open enrolled that are playing football right now, 13 of them are playing for West Orange. So they have a very loaded team, if you will. I'm sure if they've figured out where all those pieces are fitting, but you can tell that West Orange is rolling. And then you have Wekiva. Wekiva's been the front runner. They still are the front runner. The big question mark with them is, can Sean Robles, can the quarterback at Wekiva, get things started for them early? Because when they get behind the chains and get behind on downs, their special teams tend to struggle, and their offense tends to struggle. So Wekiva needs to get out early. I still have Wekiva winning the game, but I'm telling you right now, if they keep it close at a halftime,
Bob Head puts points on the board in the second half. They're my favorite second half team of this year.
I was going to say, Bob Head has always done at least one thing well, and it's halftime adjustments. He does that very well.
Yes, he will figure you out, and he will have a good staff around him all the time. And don't, you know, if they need to spot West Orange a couple points going into half, where we could see an upset here.
Yeah, they don't call them the West Orange Warriors for nothing. There's a wow factor there with Bob Head. Let's head over to Seminole. We talked with head coach Don Stark on today's live show. His Seminoles, I love the name there, Seminoles. They are hosting Lake Brantley. Scott Inez is Lake Brantley Patriots at 7 o'clock on Friday. These are two of the kind of the smaller, it's kind of a fun matchup between these two.
Yeah, it is. Lake Brantley is a team that it's like they're up one week, they're down the next, they're back up, and they're kind of hard to figure out. They obviously have the quarterback, Demarius Good, who's heading to Miami, and he's really kind of... He has to have a game. You know, unfortunately, Lake Brantley doesn't have a lot of ancillary pieces. They don't have a lot of things around him. So he just needs to step up and have a game. And I think when they run triple option, don't pitch it. Just keep it. You're the guy going to Miami. You know, you're the one that's going to Miami. You're the stud. Let's go. So I think I think Lake Brantley is going to do everything they can to play Seminole, which is like their sixth straight home game in a row up there. But I've got Seminole winning this one. You agree with me?
I'll tell you what, for Brantley, it's feast or famine all the time, Heat. So, I mean, if they have that run offense going with that option, then they're really tough to beat. But Seminole is normally prepared for it.
Since we're doing a little bonus coverage here, how about I give a bonus game?
Give me a bonus game.
Okay, bonus game. Osceola Cowboys versus Ridge Community.
Cowboys with a K.
Yes, this is the game when we talk to the Osceola coach. You had to throw that in
Nichols,
there.
I can't ever not, man.
You throw me off with that one. But yeah, so this game, in the last 3 years, if you add up all the points that this game's have been decided by, it equals 10. So this in the past 3 years, we're talking three nail-biters. I've got Osceola doing it again, but eventually the house has to crumble, right? Eventually Osceola...
You're going to get got.
I mean, they haven't lost since 2015, you know, in regular season play. Does it happen this week?
I'm going to roll with the Cowboys with a K until the house crumbles there.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that will do it for me, Nikki.
Yeah, we got our games to watch coming up. He's Heath Ziegler. I'm Nick Grunewitz. Jerry Daniels hanging out with us here. So you just got Jones and Bishop Moore, Okoye at Hagerty, Oviedo at Lake Mary, Wekiva West Orange, Lake Brantley at Seminole, and then, of course, that Cowboys with a K game, the bonus game there. That's going to do it for us here on ESPN 580 Orlando's High School Football Scoreboard. It's brought to you by CareSpot Urgent Care, your one-stop solution for your health care needs now with 10 locations all over Central Florida and providing you with same-day treatment, including weekends, evenings, holidays, and even bonus coverage just like this.
And remember, on Friday, Heath will be on with us. He'll give us an update of what games are coming up that night, and him and Kyle will be live across Central Florida giving us score updates all night.
That's why we have Jerry Daniels
here.
We will talk to you then, and of course, every single Tuesday, 8 to 9, the High School Football Scoreboard brought to you by CareSpot Urgent Care right here on ESPN 580. We'll talk to you then.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.